Read me romance. Read, read me romance. Read me romance. Read, read me romance.
You could take a look in a book, that's fine. Or you could sit back, relax, and unwind and
read me romance. Read, read me romance.
So I have to tell you guys that I got a new refrigerator today. Mm-hmm. And I've been super excited about my new refrigerator.
Are we recording?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, sorry. No, we
I just remembered I had to tell you about it.
So why did you get a new refrigerator? I didn't even know because about it. And you're like, I'm getting appliances. I was like, well, fuck you. Not for telling me. Thanks. I'm supposed to know every aspect of your life, clearly.
So, well, what happened was the most miraculous thing, which is that we had that leak, you know, when I was in Chicago. That happened 2 seconds after I left for Chicago.
Yeah.
And it was coming from the refrigerator, so...
Was it the line to the ice maker, or was it the...
Yes!
No, let me tell you, that motherfucker will get you every time. My parents had to redo their kitchen floors in our old house because of that.
Well, for months, the tiles in the kitchen floor were, like, warping, yeah. And I was like, what is this? And yeah. My dad, who was in construction, was like, oh, those are not the correct tiles for a kitchen floor.
Yeah.
So I thought that's all it was. But no, there was a leak happening for months from that ice maker. So.
That's
yeah. We didn't know until like water started coming up in the basement floor. Mm-hmm. We were like, well, where is this coming from? So anyways, the insurance company who came over to like dry out everything with fans and like inspect, like gave us like our insurance money within 3 days.
Holy fuck. Who's your insurance
and
provider?
More than we needed.
Let's brag on them.
It was like, it's a small company in like Long Island called like Narragansett Bay or something. And not only were they great, but the kids, like I call them kids because they were so young. The guys that came over to inspect were like milkmen from the 50s. They were like, hey, ma'am, like we're here to inspect your refrigerator. They were like so polite.
That's awesome.
And so they gave us like more than we needed. And so I was like, okay, well, if we're going to get a new refrigerator, let's get the appliances to match it.
Yeah.
So they all came this morning, but like half an hour before it got here, my husband was like, all right, we got to take everything out of the refrigerator. And I was like, what? I was
like, like it didn't occur to you?
Never occurred to me. I was like, let's cancel this whole operation.
You look so offended right now. When you
7 o'clock
face,
in the morning.
You were like, what? Well, you look so angry.
Imagine you finding out you had to take out everything out of your refrigerator at 7 o'clock in the morning before you'd had your coffee.
Mel, how
I was
long
just
would
like,
that
give me a fucking
I'm
break.
Gonna say it would take Mel 7 minutes to get everything out. I bet there's nothing.
That was pretty quick. Yeah.
You don't have anything in your refrigerator. I have
Tessa
like
has jams and
so many sauces.
Yep. I know you bitches. I knew it. Jams and sauces. Tessa's got different samples of all this.
Four different kinds of fucking mustard.
Mel has four things of ketchup, and then her freezer's packed. There's nothing in the refrigerator. Look at her nod. Nothing
everything
in the fridge.
Soda
everything's in the freezer.
And Lunchables. And then, like, some fruit. The fruit goes bad, and I have to throw it away all the time.
Psychic.
I just buy it.
I should be a psychic.
I'm actually really impressed that you called out on my sauces.
Absolutely.
Like, you really
I'm
knew.
Telling you, I can read people. And, like, I know you bitches. I'm like, yes, I know exactly what's in. So somebody
everything.
Guess what's in my fridge.
Everything.
I'm going to guess you have leftovers boxed up in Tupperware.
Definitely leftovers
in
Tupperware.
I have Chick-fil-A salads and Jason Deli soups and stuff.
You have prepackaged meals ready to go.
I bet you have like a lot of the packets they send for takeout
food.
Yes,
she absolutely.
Like, you have like a drawer.
Here,
you have a drawer full of like duck sauce.
Packets of ketchup. And then there's a center one that's supposed to be for like drinks. But that's my drawer. That means you don't fucking go in that drawer. You don't eat nothing that's in that drawer.
That kills me. I love it.
I'd say you have like just like okay so leftovers pre-made food for like a day or two maybe and like bakery stuff.
I have a big bowl of pasta salad that's pre-made if you want to come in have a little pasta salad, you know, have some afternoon tea.
You just have pasta salad ready to go for like surprise visitors.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Oh
listen, would you not like a little surprise?
I would be so excited if I walked into a house and somebody was like, you want some pasta salad? I'd be like, well, I'm leaving.
I'm telling you, my house is a home. Like, it is not, like, it's pretty clean, but it's not like, you could sit anywhere in my house. I think people, I would want that, but I also feel like that's what people experience when they come in. It's definitely like, you're not afraid to sit on the furniture. You can put your feet on stuff, like grab a pillow. Like that's how
my when you come to my house, I order takeout.
Oh. Do you really?
I'm like, you don't want what I'm going to really? Cook. Like, you, no. Yeah, I'm like, my family has but to shut this shit down, text, but like, guests don't have to.
She's like, made chicken noodle soup and mashed potatoes. Come on over. I'm like, I'm on my way.
See, that's me. Like,
wait, does that go together?
No, but why not?
Chicken soup and mashed potatoes? Now. Is that like a combo for you and your family?
Jeanette asked me this too. Everybody thinks it's so weird. You put the mashed potatoes and then you put the chicken noodle soup on top and then you eat it.
Nope.
Tessa leaned away from the microphone.
I've never heard like, that before. That's crazy.
Then maybe that's
but it's kind of like chicken and dumplings.
Yeah, maybe that's a Midwestern thing. All right, if you're from the Midwest, write us and tell us, or leave it in the headquarters Facebook group, because I want to know if that's a Midwestern thing or not.
Sky Warren came over to my house for dinner, and I ordered Italian food. Literally, I was like, "Well, we got pizza, we've got pasta and salad."
Did I do
and
that?
I put it out.
No.
I can't cook like that for several people.
Did I tell you that? Because they said
not good?
I just order things. They're like, she'll just order something. So
like there's a rotation for family dinners and your house is no longer in the rotation.
There's four of us. And we're all like my mom, my dad, me, and Rob. I've been kicked out of the rotation. And I was like, I'm not taking this as an insult. I'm taking this as you guys are like, she's really busy. So we're just going to take over.
I would be personally offended. That would hurt so much if somebody was like, we don't want you to cook. Like, that would break my soul.
But they're right
there
like, she's just going to order something. But I'm like, I go and get you guys
Smokehouse
or Stroud's or a nice restaurant.
Yeah, but you can get that anytime.
I love nothing more than takeout food. So, like, to me, that's the ultimate thing. I cook once a year for, like, a large group of people, and it's Christmas Day dinner. Yeah. Like, I took it over 4 years ago, and I do, like, a roast, and I do potatoes and a salad and garlic bread and, roasted vegetables and, like, desserts. I do it all.
My husband
and then I do
doesn't.
No more days.
Wow.
Until 364
like,
days.
That's it. Husband. But my husband's a chef. My mom and my husband can cook really, really well, both of them. My mom's kind of like Leah. She can make anything.
Yeah, you tell me what you want, I'll make it. I remember
my mother's a really good cook. She's very disappointed that I'm not. I think she'd actually be more happy if I knew how to cook two good dishes than about my whole career.
Wow. But, you know, I think I've used it as a chance to, like, make things that I wouldn't normally make for my family when I have people over. Like, things that I love but take a little time that I wouldn't do, like, during the week. Because I cook during the week almost every day. But I don't make, like, fancy stuff. Like, I'll just make, like, meatballs and spaghetti, or I'll make, like, pork chops or chicken or, you know, like, basic stuff.
Okay, I do really good chicken quesadillas. I do do really good pasta with meat sauce, and I can make a beef stroganoff with noodles.
I fucking love beef stroganoff.
Those are my three, like, go-to. And I'm really good at breakfast. Like, I could murder breakfast.
Also, yeah, samesies with breakfast. I also make a really good
goulash.
I feel like I make that.
I love goulash.
I make a really good one. I put, like, a bunch of cheese in it.
This is the food episode.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to say, we were talking about meals. So one thing that I've done recently is, you know, especially with us, like, you know, trying to write more before I went on vacation for so long, I did a meal delivery service, and I've tried a couple of them. I've done like HelloFresh and Blue Apron, and it was just okay. And I didn't feel like it was ever enough food. Like, I feel like it was, like, probably a healthy portion amount of food. But I'm like, that's not going to cut it. Like, we're hungry people. So I had a friend of mine who said, try plated. Because she said, I've tried all the other ones, and I feel like this gives you the most food. And so we've done it. We've had three deliveries so far, which is, like, six meals. And it's for four servings. And it is so good. And it's really awesome. And each week you get to pick from 20 different recipes. So you can kind of pick and choose what you want. And it includes dessert. So if you want to add a dessert onto it, you can. And so I've done it for the four of us. And we always have leftovers. We always have at least one serving leftover. Now, granted, my, like, four-year-old isn't going to eat, like, a full adult-size portion.
Right.
But, like, my friend Carrie, who does the travel planning and stuff for that I talked about on the podcast, she does it with hers. And so her boys are, like, 17 and 18. And it's her and her husband. She was like, it's always enough for us. And so I felt like that was a good recommendation when she was like, my boys are always full whenever we cooked it.
HelloFresh was really small portions, I think.
Yeah, I felt like it was really small for us too when we did that one.
And a lot of times there's no like starch. So, you know, like if I'm not going to eat a starch, like I need a lot of whatever else. Like I need more meat or more vegetables or something else. Like I was just telling Mel while you were talking to the locksmith, I was saying how I'm just like, I eased up on the starches like lately because I'm going to California and I'm going to be in my hometown for the first time in a decade. And I was like, maybe I just, you know.
Yeah, ease up a little.
A little bit. Oh, I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, and I was just saying, like, I haven't been eating starches, but like, I've just been piling on just like tons of vegetables, roasted vegetables, just trying to fill my stomach, you know, because like, it doesn't, like, I can't eat a small salad and a fucking piece of chicken. So, it just doesn't work.
For example, like, the past couple nights, and I usually text Mel, like, when I'm making for dinner, if it's one of the plated meals, because I'm like, check this out. And the other night, it was, like, it was seared steak with, like, forget the name of the noodles, but it's a sweet potato noodle that came with it. So, it was, like, an Asian-style meal, but it was a lot. And then I had egg rolls in the freezer, and I was like, well, I'll just serve that with it. So, like, sometimes I'll add a little something to it, and then, but we had, like, almost an entire serving left. Like, that's how much was in it. And the noodles were amazing. Like, I'm eating it for lunch today. I'm already thinking about it. And then, like as always, like, you can pick on there. There's, like, vegan options. There's carb-free options. You know, out of the 20 meals, you can do chicken, fish, you know, beef, whatever you want to do. But it's, like, there's a chicken Alfredo they have, like, is, like, quote-unquote family-friendly. And, like, I made that. And it comes with, like, tomatoes and, like, roasted stuff with it. But I, like, added, like, broccoli to it because my kids love broccoli. So sometimes it's just easy enough for me to go to the store and, like, grab a couple of things I can keep on hand. And, like, when it's – everything's in a box. So it just makes it easy when I'm really busy and I still want to cook at home because I'm used to that. It's just I don't have to – I don't forget anything. I don't have to think about, okay, what am I going to cook? Do I have the stuff to cook it? It was just really nice. So if you
– That is nice. Plated. Okay.
If you're thinking about like a meal delivery – and this is not sponsored at all. So if you're thinking about a meal delivery
– We're not that important.
Not yet.
Not yet.
But that's one that I've tried. I mean, this is the third one I've tried, and I've been the most impressed with this one. So
okay, that's a good option. Yeah. I gotta figure something out because I hate having that conversation every day with my husband. Yep. Like, what are we having for dinner? Yeah. And I'm like, I can't even.
I just do it.
Like, I can't rearrange my headspace to figure that out. So.
And I found in our relationship, it is better for me to just cook it. Just, I don't ask anybody else.
Don't even consult?
Nope, I don't consult anybody else in the fucking house. And if I do, it's usually like on a weekend where I'm like, what does everybody want to eat? And then we'll go out to eat. Like, that's our choice.
Well, how dare you figure out what's good for your relationship and actually employ it like that?
I'm like, it's just going to be a fight. Because number one, he's not going to have any good suggestions. He's going to ask me what I want. And then he's going to suggest something that I don't want. So I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to cook what I want.
I really envy that quality in you. You just figure out what's better and then do it.
I'm telling you, do plated and you're going to go on there a week ahead of time. So you can't change your minds. So you go in there a week ahead of time, pick out what you want and they send it to you and fuck it. That's what you're having.
Okay. Okay. No, I like that idea. So this is the Read Me Romance podcast. Welcome to 13 minutes in. We're here for Molly O'Keefe. This is the final. You guys are probably dying for this. I'm not sure where we left off, if they leave off with the epilogue left or if the final chapter is left. But if we played our cards right, we probably left you on a cliffhanger yesterday. So you're waiting to see what happens with Natalie and Jack, and you guys won't be disappointed. It's lovely. Okay, so I have like a blurb here for Molly O'Keefe's book, My Wicked Prince. It's free on Kindle Unlimited. So I'm going to read that really quick because I think you guys need more Molly O'Keefe in your life. If you haven't already picked up Tycoon, which is free on KU, and it's connected to this book, Our Last Chance, this is another one you can grab. It's called My Wicked Prince, and it's new. He was my prince charming, my fairy tale gone totally wrong. My mother marrying the king was supposed to give my mom and me our happily ever after, but my life isn't a bedtime story, and no prince with a fancy shoe is turning me into Cinderella. I had big plans outside of my small but powerful country, but Gunner, the wicked prince in a gorgeous package, was temptation too strong for me to resist. His sweet lies and sweeter kisses pulled me back into his arms over and over again until his cold, cruel heart finally broke mine for good. Now he's going to be king, and he wants me back in his country, his palace, and his bed, and we all must bow to the king.
Ooh, I like that.
I know, it's good, right?
She has a great blurb. Yeah.
I know. I always wonder which authors write their blurbs and which authors, like, have somebody else do it. I love writing blurbs. I feel like I've gotten really decent at it. Yeah. I was going to say good, and then I changed my mind.
You're like, I've gotten, not so.
I've gotten passable at mediocre. It. Mediocre. Yeah. So, yeah, Molly O'Keefe is doing, she's giving away a 2-month Audible subscription. So that's if you guys haven't awesome. Entered. I know, it's good, right? Yeah. Readmeromance.com. Go check it out. So, you guys, what are you writing right now?
So, today we finish Pretty Virgin, which is coming in, like, a week, right? Like, are we after, do we go after Molly? No. Who ends this season?
No, we have.
BB Reed finishes this, and then we go after her? Is that right, for season 3?
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, it's Molly O'Keefe, BB Reed, and then you guys kick off season 3.
Okay, holy so, shit. Yeah, season 3 starts in 2 weeks. And so the book we wrote for that, so we wrote a series, and it's
Virgin
called,
Marriage.
What did we name it, Mel? The Virgin Marriage series. So there's the Virgin Husband,
which is out.
The Virgin Wife, and then there's a Virgin. Yeah, both of those are already out. It's about a marriage of convenience, and then the two people fall for other people, and it's kind of how they get out of their marriage, and they never, like,
just best friends.
Consummated their marriage or kissed or anything. Yeah, they were just friends. That's what those two books are about. And in The Virgin Husband, in the first book, the girl he falls for has a roommate, and so that's the book that's coming to the podcast. It's called The Virgin Roommate, and you don't have to have read the other ones to listen to the podcast week, The Virgin Roommate. It'll just help you recognize if you hear the other name. During our podcast week, the first day on Monday, you're going to hear the heroine, her name's Gia. She has a brother named Jason. So we are writing Jason's story. It's going to come out that day. So on Monday, if you hear, you know, her talk about Jason, her brother, and you want his story, you can get it right then. And it's called
Pretty Virgin. Which, do you want to tell her about Pretty Virgin and how cool. it's linked to other books?
Yeah,
so Pretty Virgin is going to be a series with other authors that are actually going to be on the podcast this, the next season.
Yeah. In season 3, yeah.
Ella Goody, Ruby Dixon, Katie Wilde, and then we have, why can't I remember all these names?
Jessica Kane's going to do it with us this time, too.
A book in the same series called, it's going to be Pretty Something. So ours is going to come out that Monday, and it's going to be Pretty Virgin, and then Ella Goods comes out, and hers is Pretty Prize, and then so you're going to get a new one in that series every week for the next 5 weeks.
And they're all the pretty books. Yeah, all the pretty books are an ebook. So you're going to be listening to The Virgin Roommate from us, and the companion book to that is called Pretty Virgin, and then the whole series is the Pretty series. So everything's called like Pretty Something, like Mel said. So you just be on the lookout, and we're gonna just shove those in your faces. But that's currently what we're writing, is Jason's book, and it's been like, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, Tessa asked us, she was like, well, how's it going? I was like, I don't know. It's harder when there's expectation. Like, we've already written 2 books. We've written The Virgin Husband and The Virgin Wife, and, you know, The Virgin Roommate. We've already written, well, 3 books, I guess, in this series. One's an audio, but we've already written them. So it's like, there's a certain expectation, like, this book has to be really good. And when there's that kind of pressure, when you're not just writing for the fuck of it, like, it does make it a little harder. And it makes it more like, there's just more anticipation and expectation. And like I said, and, you know, you want it to be really good. You want to deliver. So we hope we do. That's all.
Yeah. You will.
Oh, Tessa, I know you Tessa, will. What are you writing?
Oh, me? Oh.
Oh, you. You've got your Grand Central book, right, that comes out on my birthday?
No, it's Avon.
Okay, sorry. So your Avon book goes live on my birthday, June 11th.
Oh, really? On June 11th? Yep. Yeah, this book, Fix Her Up, comes out June 11th. It's, you know, baseball player who got injured and kicked out of the league, basically, and he's back in his hometown, and his best friend's younger sister, like, pulls him out of his funk and gets him back into the land of the living, and he falls for her but doesn't realize it until she's like made herself over into like a hot new commodity in town. And oh my god, yeah, it's soon. So what I've been writing this week is basically, okay, so Fix Her Up, they're putting out an ebook for $9.99. Yeah. And there's a whole philosophy behind that, and it's traditionally published, so I don't have anything to do with the price. But because I'm so insecure over my ability to sell a book for $9.99, mm-hmm. I called my publisher last week, and I was like, what if I do this? What if I write an entire book of bonus content for like my other couples? And then if they pre-order Fixer Up, they can get this book, bonus book of like all these bonus stories, like from my old, from my other books. And they were like, absolutely. You know, like if you're willing to do that, we'll make sure.
All your other books with Avon, like all your Avon books with them, like you get the bonus stories.
There's a bonus story for every Avon couple that I've ever written. Plus, there's bonus. Yeah, it's what I've been doing all week.
Tessa, you just came up with this idea and you've got like 3 weeks. Why do you do this to yourself? What the fuck?
And I wrote bonus content for Runaway Girl and Getaway Girl. And that's all going to be in the book. So.
Well, those are self-published too. Wow.
So I emailed Eagle. Oh, I was like, shit. I did this thing.
Where I put myself in a corner.
I was like, I know it's not in your schedule.
I need you to help me come off this cliff.
Yeah. So probably by the time this podcast comes out, I'll have a link that I can put in the episode description for you guys. If you want to do it, if you pre-order Fixer Up, you'd probably get this. You'll get a bonus, basically a novella's worth of just free bonus content of my past couples.
That's super smart. Are you writing any bonus content for Fixer Up in it?
No.
Because it comes out at the same time?
It comes out. Okay. You're going to get the bonus book at the same day you get Fixer Up. Okay, so.
Well, that makes sense then.
Yeah, plus the next two books in the series are just like, they're just in the background doing, having happy lives.
You're doing a bonus thing for Halfway Girl?
No, I just did it for Runaway Girl and Getaway Girl. So like,
no, it's okay. You don't need to put a podcast book on there. It's totally fine.
I did bonus content in the back of Halfway Girl.
Fine. It's totally fine. I mean, whatever. I'll just settle for the ebook bonus. I can't have double bonus.
No.
You don't realize.
Ugh, well, now I guess I'm
going to. Favorite sin, okay?
I guarantee by tomorrow I'm emailing Eagle back. Like, I just added one more scene to this. I just need
to
add one more
thing to be able to do. Make the podcast people happy. 300 words,
so,
Tessa.
So, you guys, where do you see yourself in 10 years? I literally have that written down here.
Do you really?
Where do you see yourself in 10 years?
Nice transition.
Yeah. I'm not nothing if not a segue machine.
I know. So, do you mean, like, as an author? Do you mean, like, spiritually? Like, is our planet going to be on fire
Both.
By then?
I feel like your author life and your personal life are kind of a little entwined at this point. No?
Probably.
So where do you see yourself in a decade?
Do you have the answer ready? Do you want to go first?
I don't have one, no. I don't have one.
I mean, I'd like to think that we're still writing. I don't know. Like, I've always told Mel at some point I don't know if the content slows down or if it gets better or if like our books get longer or I don't know what happens. Like it's kind of shaky still to know like, okay, what are we working towards? And that's, you know, I'm sure at some point retirement, but you know, writing's so easy and fun. You can do it anywhere at any time. You know, you don't necessarily have to retire, you know, just to like keep going.
Do you think you could stop writing now? Like now that it's just like you, because it's such an outlet for your creativity. Like, do you think you could do that, or would you feel stifled if you like creatively if you just stopped writing completely?
No, and it's like we talked about, you know, last week when you were like, if Mel wasn't doing what she was doing, she would be helping other authors. It's like she couldn't.
I would hire
working.
Mel like in 2 seconds to be my manager. Mm-hmm.
And I think I think that's just something that's innate too. And you know, there's something too, and I don't know if it's as far as like being a woman or whatever it is, but just wanting to be successful, you know, and having found success in this, I don't know if I could let that go. You know, like I enjoy being really good at something. Maybe I would find something
else.
I
can't imagine. But I don't know. I just can't think 10 years ahead because when I look back on stuff that was from 2 years ago, I'm like, holy shit. So I can't imagine 10 years.
I think like I've gotten addicted to like positive feedback.
Yeah.
Like I think it validates me. Like it makes me feel validated so much that like, I think it's part of the reason, like if I'm being 100% honest, I love writing and I love writing romance, but I also really need to hear people say they enjoyed something I did.
Yeah,
like
I could see that.
It's like an addiction almost.
Well, and you know, I think maybe if you didn't write, you know, again, like we talked about before, like if you weren't writing, what would you do? You know, you'd seek it out, that sort of thing. You'd seek it out in a new and different way. But, you know, in 10 years, I'm going to be 50. You know, like I'm going to be almost 50. Like that's a reality. And I always thought, you know, if I work really hard and I, you know, save up and I'm smart, like, I want to be able to retire at 50. But I don't know, like, even if I could financially retire at 50, like, if that dream came true, would I really want to stop writing? But I would like to think at 50, I get to live the life that I want to live and write the stories I want to write. Not that I don't do it now, but I hope that I can continue to do it in 10 years. That's my plan anyways, is that I continue to do the things that I love to do.
My
and the
plan
way
is
I
to get
them.
Through today.
Okay, I have another question for you guys. Have you ever stolen anything?
Yes. I love stealing shit. I love stealing shit. Yep. I didn't ever steal
all
stuff from a store.
I stole stuff from
Kristen,
Claire's.
The one I'm going with. She would had... make us do a ploy. She would take her. She'd have somebody else run out of the store. She's like, okay. She'd tell her brother, run out of the store. And then she'll have something in her hand and she would chase after him.
Uh-huh.
No. Like in middle school.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I love it.
That's
I never
hilarious.
Stole from a store. I was always too chicken shit to do that. But I would steal stuff out of people's yards.
Oh my God, like, that is bizarre.
Like lawn statues and stuff. Like,
oh my
yeah,
God. Like to be funny?
Like yeah, like just, and we would go,
oh, well,
and
that's
we would go
normal.
Put them in other people's yards. Like,
to be funny.
Yeah, just to be,
I, like,
it was a
I
joke.
Mean, if you were like sneaking out just to do it,
no,
like a rake
we
or
were
something.
Just, like high school, like looking for shit to do. Like we'd go take
yeah.
like a big bird feeder out of somebody's yard and then like drive it to somebody else's house and like set it up like
I've
it's supposed to be
ice.
There. Ice? Oh, I steal. Everybody steals ice though. When you pay for two
well,
bags,
no,
and
I'll
like
17. Be walking out of the store and I'm like, say ice. Fuck it. Nobody's gonna think I'm really stealing it. They'll think I'm paying for it.
Just grab it.
You're like, this is just cold water. This is just frozen water.
I
wanted anyway.
To
ice. Like,
to
how
steal
much is it really worth?
Wood from the hardware store. And one day I went in when they were finally open to get some, and I was like, I need to pay for like 7 extra. And he's like, really? Why? I was like, well, I've just taken it before. And he's like, we have a. That policy where you can do that, I'm like, I don't think so. I think I just made it up.
You created a new role at that store. I hope you're happy with yourself. Oh, I like
I've stolen a lot of things.
What have you stolen?
Well, you said Claire's, and we also used to steal from... So when I was 15, I worked at a Burger King / Popeyes in a mall in California, and Claire's was next door to it, like, right next door. And we went to high school with the girls that worked there, so we had a deal. Like, we would come in and steal things, and they wouldn't say anything, and they'd get free chicken at the end of the night.
Fuck yes! Now,
we would just hook them up with free chicken
and biscuits.
That is
a barter system.
One time I went out with Leah and I didn't have gloves and I loved the gloves that she had. She let me use and then I gave them back to her and then right before she left I took them and when I got home I took a picture with them on. I was like, I stole
and
the
I
gloves.
And I was like, God, I really love those gloves too. They were awesome. They were.
She's not over
they were
it.
Like,
her face says she's
no,
not over
I'm
it.
No, I'm not. They were fingerless gloves but they had mittens that went over the tops of them.
Oh, I love that.
They were so
like,
nice.
And they were rainbow, but not like a super bright rainbow. Like
no,
a light
it was
rainbow.
Really
they
subtle,
were really nice.
And they were really warm. Yeah, I paid a lot of money for that.
I was like, I don't know how I got these.
I was like, I know how you did that 5-figure discount. You fucking thief.
One time, so did you guys ever do like run outs where like some like broke high school kids, you'd run into like, you know, a convenience store, grab a 12-pack, run
no!
out, and just somebody would be waiting in the
did
car?
Did you do that, Tessa?
Yeah. So one time,
oh my God.
I know, I never actually did the stealing, but I was in the car. So one time my friend Ashley, who I'm going to see for the first time in like a decade in July, she did it. She was the getaway driver. Some kid from our high school ran in, like, grabbed like a 12-pack of Mickey's.
Yeah.
Grenade, something disgusting. Yeah. Jumped in the car and we hit the gas and took off into like an empty grocery store parking lot. And she was gunning it and like turned to me to say something. And we came literally 2 feet away from hitting one of those return stations for the push cart.
No shit.
She was going like 70
Holy
miles an hour.
Fuck.
We almost ran right into it. Jesus. And honestly, I don't know how well those things are bolted down the ground.
No.
It might have just knocked it out over,
but
we came so close to going head on into
Jesus
one of those things.
Jesus Christ.
And another time I got caught, I actually left because I smoked a lot of pot in high school and we used to smoke them from Black and Mild cigars.
Yeah, yeah.
You know those things?
Mm-hmm.
So we would take, we'd buy a Black and Mild, we'd hollow it out, and then we'd make a blunt out of it.
And who was the, you always had to have the liquor. Who's going to do the licking? Like, to, like, seal it up.
So I went and I stole a Black and Mild from, like a convenience store. And I was walking out, and the alarms went off, and I just stood there. I was like, holy, and I was like, I don't know how an alarm would go off when.
Yeah, with one thing.
With one thing, but apparently it was just the guy in the back had hit the alarm because he was watching me on the camera steal it. And I was like, I had this with me when I came here. And I was terrified, obviously. I was like sweating and shaking. And I was like, I had this with me. And he goes, come with me. And you go into the over to the area where like I stole it. And he shows me the serial number on the last one in the package and the one on mine. And it's right. It's just the next number. Yeah. And I ran.
Did he really? I dropped it
and I ran. And he let me go. And I really feel like.
He can't grab you. He technically can't touch you.
No, but I think he was just trying to teach me a lesson and he wasn't mean to me. He just was like, this is how I know you stole it.
Get the fuck out.
And I saw you steal it. And I don't think he was going to like arrest me, a 16-year-old kid, over like a 5 cent. But I never stole anything after that. That was it. That was the last time. I was scared out of my fucking mind.
Well, you know what? Mel likes to steal the gas tanks. Like the you know the handles?
What?
The gas, like when you fill up your gas tank. So you're in Jersey, you don't pump your own gas, do you?
New York. No, well sometimes there's some places where you can, but mostly not.
I didn't know if it was Long Island. Yeah. So Mel likes to put the handle in, pump her gas, and when it stops, she just drives off with it. It's happened multiple times. That's what's so fucking funny. So,
see, how do you do that in your town, Mel, when, like, everybody knows each other?
I've never done it in town.
They know you're the gasoline stealer.
I've never done it here. It's always been, like, I've been out in, like, the city. And I remember the last time I did it, I finally copped to it. And then when I copped to the second time that it happened, I told about the first time. I'm like, this isn't even the first time, guys. So I'm telling my dad the story, and he's like, where is the gas pump? I'm like, it's in my trunk. He's like, go throw it in the fucking trash.
I'm like, don't take it back. They have more of them.
I was like, because I was trying to talk him into taking it back for me.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm not going to go to prison
for
you.
But it's like, they have a release thing, so like, as apparently this is a thing, right? Like, don't they just like pop off
when you drive away with them? Yeah, it pops off. I guess it happens a few times a year. I'm like, how does it only happen a few times a year? I've done this twice in a year. But yeah,
I had a friend named Christina who like stole bathing suits and would like go into like a Macy's or whatever. She'd try on bathing suits and then just put her clothes on them and leave over them and leave.
Well,
and then I guess like she got nervous that her parents were onto her. So then she stuffed a bunch of them into the back of my bathroom drawer one time and then left. And my parents found them and they were like, did you steal these bathing suits? And I was like, my one, like, she had no tits, and I was like, are you serious?
Yeah, that would be like a dead giveaway.
I couldn't fit a nipple on that thing. Okay, you guys, let's read some listener emails, and then we'll go ahead and get you to the final installment. Okay, I have an email here from a lady listener. It says, dear lady podcasters, I'll admit I'm not a religious listener of the podcast. I tune in when I can or when something specifically interests me, and I'm always, always, always behind. I've been slowly working on Evangeline Anderson's week. I'm finally on Friday, and I don't want it to end. Thank you for introducing me to Evangeline. I've already downloaded several of her books and cannot wait to hear her sci-fi books.
Oh, yay!
They're really good.
I also want to reach out to thank you three lovely ladies for your beautiful and inclusive discussions. So many people do not realize how beautiful the romance community is, how open and honest it is. I personally have severe depression. I was diagnosed years ago and only started therapy recently. I have a very hard time explaining to my therapist why romance is an escape and why it makes me feel better. Her opinion is that romance novels are fake and give the reader unrealistic expectations.
Her therapist says that to her?
I feel like, I'm not giving any advice about, like, anything, because I really don't, I'm not a doctor, and I don't know what I'm talking about, but you can look for somebody else that makes you feel better about yourself. I don't think that's a bad, you know, like, you could try somebody else if you needed to, if you felt like you needed to.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say that.
That's a personal experience myself as well. Just because they're a therapist doesn't mean they work for you. You can get a different therapist.
Yeah.
We listen to so many podcasts, and the host of My Favorite Murder always talk about how long it took them to find their correct therapist. Mm-hmm. You know, like,
yeah.
it doesn't happen immediately. To be fair, she isn't that far off the mark, but I try very hard to make her understand there is so much more to romance than unrealistic nature. There's an escape, there's a community of amazing women building each other up, and there's so many subgenres to choose from. She says she met her three best friends through the romance community, which I feel like is pretty tip, like, I feel like that happens a lot. Yeah. Which is great, like, especially at these conventions, you know.
Well, you're really vulnerable, I think, too. Like, when you mm-hmm. get into something like this, I think romance community makes you, like, able to share that side of yourself.
Anyway, the real reason for my email is to thank Leah and Mel for their discussion on book covers. I have admittedly a cover whore. If the cover doesn't interest me, I will not even click on the book. The title and the cover have to draw me in, which I realize may be leaving a lot of great books behind. So, it's a pretty long email, but I wanted to ask you guys about your covers. Like, talk to me about your process for choosing your covers.
Okay. I spend a lot of time on covers. I have piles and piles of folders and images. When I see an image I like or Leah likes, she sends it to me. And that's just like could be an idea for a later one. And I've even said to Tessa before when we've gone covers, I'm like, well, keep an eye out for something that catches your eye, like a blouse or something like that. And she thought I was crazy. I was like, no, if something keeps drawing your eye towards it, even if it's a picture or a makeup palette, mm-hmm. what is so eye-catching about that? And what colors can I take from that to move to here? That's how I do it anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've definitely opened my eyes up to a lot of things about color. Like, I look at pictures, stock photography, so much differently now. Like, I feel like I used to be drawn to, like, pictures that, like, look darker and romantic, but that doesn't, you know, like, you need something that's, like, catchy and poppy, yeah. you know, like.
Something that reflects, what maybe more of your story versus like what looks sexy. Mm-hmm. And I think that and I know we said it before when we talked about covers, one of the ones I always use an example is called Holding His Forever. You know, we found that picture and Mel was like, I want this picture. I love it. And it's just such a beautiful embrace. And I remember looking at and I just named the book like right then. I was like, oh, it's like he's holding her for forever. And it was like holding his forever. And I was like, that's definitely it. And I'm like, what can we write a story about that, you know? And that's also a good technique for writing as well, is finding a picture you like and then writing a story around it. But that book was really, it was easy to write that book once we saw that picture. We knew their story.
And a lot of times, I think I was trying to, somebody asked in the group, they're like, how do you find, when you're looking at stock pictures, I never look, and maybe this is because I play in Photoshop a lot. Whenever I look at a picture, I immediately chop it in 4 to 8 pieces. And yeah. you only sometimes need actually a quarter of one picture to make a cover.
I see what you mean.
Like, so,
yeah. Like mm-hmm. his hand on her cheek
yeah.
or something.
Yeah. So you only, yeah. so just because, they're wearing that hideous outfit or this or that, you only need a fourth of that image. I'll yeah. even, so like when I send stuff to Leah or to Tessa sometimes, I've already got the image cut down. Because I've
yeah.
already put it in there and I've cropped it as many different ways to see if I can get it to look what I'm going for, and that's it.
Well, another example of that, too, is, like, you remember that when we were trying to, I don't know if it was a cover of Thief or Kingpin, maybe, I can't remember, but we were looking for it, and we found the picture of that guy sitting on the sofa, and we loved it. It was this gorgeous, like, settee thing, like, he was lounging back on, but as much as we love this picture, we could not get it to work right. Like, it was like, because his head was cut off in the image. It was like from beard down. And he was like legs spread, like super sexy pose, like great suit. But the image would just not fit the cover. And that's one of those things, like, you can't force it to work. Like,
you have to give it up. Yeah,
you have to give it up. And that's what's really hard for a lot of authors, is they see this image, they write their story around it, and that's the cover that they have to use. And it's like, no. You got to back up. You got to let that go. You
gotta start over.
And you got to start completely over. And it sucks because I feel like some people are really, you know, I don't know. And Mel even said before, font is half your cover, which is absolutely right. I mean, I even sent you guys a picture, you know, just yesterday, where I was like, what the fuck is this? I mean, the picture was a little odd. It could have been much sexier, but the font was just so, like, it was so sophomoric, to use a SAT word. But, like, it was really juvenile. And it was like, God, if they'd just had like a punch more on the font, like it would have really like hyped up this cover. It wouldn't have been like so terrible.
You would never.
I like that you guys don't settle for anything. No. You guys like sometimes we'll revise a cover like 16 times.
People would get intimidated that they're bothering their cover person.
Yeah.
I don't care.
That's me. That's 100%
me. If you want to bill me again, that's fine. We're going to keep doing this. Yeah. I'll go all day. I'll come back to you over and over. And I'll even say, start over. I want to start completely over.
I'm like, here's a different picture. Let's start again. Yeah. Because it's
okay. Here's a new email. Okay, go ahead. Did you want to say something else?
It needs to be good because it, like this, you know, the listener said, she buys it based on that. She is not alone.
Like we were saying, this is a community of women. We like pretty packaging.
Yep.
Okay, this is from Shandy, and it's okay to say her name because she says she likes the way. She wants Leah to say her name because she loves the way she loves the way Leah's voice.
Hey, Shandy, how you doing? I just like Shandy.
Okay, Shandy. She says, hey, ladies, I wrote in for writing help a few weeks ago, and Leah and Mel gave some really great advice, but I'm stuck again. My husband and I have a hell of a vanilla sex life, and it's also pretty barren. We hardly fool around anymore. When we first started dating, we'd fool around in the car when he'd take me back home, or we'd get hot and heavy on the couch. He gave me my first orgasm at 19 by making out and dry humping. Parentheses. I hate that phrase. I love that phrase.
I love it.
Give me that dry humping.
Get it.
Uh-huh. Dry humping on the couch while his dad was asleep in the other room. He wasn't sleeping. It was hot as hell. But we don't have anything like that anymore. My sex drive is like non-existent since we started having sex. We were both virgins when we got together, so neither of us had any idea what we're doing. I've been so anti-sex my whole life that we didn't even sleep together until 3 years into our relationship. And the only reason I finally gave in is because he caved and said we could have a baby. It took us a year to get pregnant because I never wanted to do it. I tracked my ovulation and we literally only had sex once or twice a month, only while I was ovulating because I hated it so much. Anyways, fast forward to now, and I've been reading and listening to romance books for about a year, and I realized that I'm turned on by a lot of things I never thought I would be. Like, he's always wanted to try doggy style, but I'm super uncomfortable and self-conscious and never wanted to do it. But it turns me on like nobody's business reading it. I'm still not sure about wanting to try it, but I'm a little more open, I guess. Anyways, because of our super vanilla sex life, I have like zero imagination for writing sex scenes. It feels super awkward and I can't figure out how to write it without it sounding awkward. Obviously, I want my readers, when I eventually get some, to get turned on while reading it, because that's my favorite part of reading romance. I just have absolutely no idea how to write it. I listened to the final episode of Picture Perfect on the way to work this morning, and you guys just gave me an idea for a scene in the book I'm attempting to write. It's not even an actual sex scene, but just to write it just sounds so lame. You can definitely tell I don't know what I'm doing, and I have a hard time trying to make it work. Sorry for rambling. I just want to explain why it seems so hard for me to write. I don't know what the heck to do. Please help. Thanks, babes. I don't think you're alone in that. Yeah. Like, I know we talk about sex a lot, and like we write sex and read sex constantly, and like we just happen to be three women who enjoy sex, but I don't really think that you're alone there. Like, I think that there's women who maybe don't like oral sex or like having their nipples sucked, or like I don't think that's totally unusual. Do you guys think that's totally unusual?
It's like not at all. I think that's pretty common. And my first initial thought to this would be like, I think you and your husband could benefit from some counseling. I do. I mean, not that you have a problem and not that, you know, listen, my husband and I go through it and we have a great relationship. Like, there's absolutely nothing wrong with it. I think, you know, even people who aren't in your situation could benefit from it. But I think you specifically and your husband could really benefit from having a mediator to talk this out. Like, you know, if you don't have a lot of experience with sex, that doesn't mean you don't have to dislike sex. You know, you shouldn't dislike sex with your partner. If you love them and you're in a committed relationship and, you know, you want to be with this person, there's no reason you shouldn't enjoy being intimate with them. And that's what I hear when, you know, when Tessa read that, all I could hear was that you lack intimacy. You don't lack desire. And that to me is what you're going to pinpoint with your therapist. I mean, just from like an outside perspective, I don't know your whole story, but from what you just told us, that's what I hear that you don't have with your partner. And that is a lot of what writing is, you know, when you create these scenes with a person on the page, it is intimacy. It's not just like, you know, the old saying, you know, slot A into tab B, like you're not just like, you know, sticking it in and going to town. That's not sexy. To write a sex scene is about the intimate moments, about when he looks at her, when he caresses her. The best sex scene to me is the bleed up to it. Once the hero sticks it in, I've lost interest in a book. Like, on all honesty, swear to God, like, that's me. You know, most of our books, we have a ton of lead up, and then when the hero gets it in, he comes right away. And, you know, 99% of our books are like that. There's never a long fucking session. It's a long session that leads to the fucking, because that's the best part. That's the intimate moment. That's the good stuff. And that's what you're going to get.
Yeah. It's the talking mm-hmm. and the foreplay yeah. that, like, really... Mm-hmm. I know, and then once they actually have their cock in, it's like
yeah.
2 to 3 paragraphs, yeah.
And again, you have the intimacy again, yeah, absolutely.
It's the release. I think it's release for them as well as the reader, yeah, you know?
Absolutely.
It's like, oh.
Yes. I mean, for example, I mean, she was saying she listened to Evangeline Anderson book. That entire week was a tease.
It's all foreplay.
And it's okay that, you know, and again, you know, I think this is something you could discuss with your husband and, you know, if you can see a therapist, I think you should. You know, and Tess and I have mentioned it before. Esther Perel has a great podcast. If you're listening to this podcast and you know where to listen, just look up Esther Perel. The name of the podcast is called Where Should We Begin? She does several episodes on intimacy, and that just, they rang so true for me. And I love intimacy. I have a ton of it with my husband, but there were so many things she said in that just made me just flip a switch. And I just think
it's a lot of, like, it helps that podcast. Yeah. Like it was life changing for me. I loved it. And it changed the way I think about like how my husband feels, yeah. you know, yeah. like, It's not just us. There's a whole other person that you live with that has thoughts and feelings and needs, and like, you know, they're just as important as ours. And, you know, it's like learning to navigate their needs in accordance with yours, and, you know, not just physically, but emotionally. And, so yeah, like I said, I don't think this is that unusual to not want sex and not like sex. I think a lot of women read romance novels because they don't really want to have sex in real life. Maybe they're not comfortable exploring that yet, or they just haven't, or they just have found it disappointing and they find it, you know, like more interesting to read it.
Well, that's like the one you read earlier that you were saying the therapist said, I think it gives you unrealistic expectations.
It's the yeah. same. Oh no.
No, that's a different one that you read before.
It was a different email.
And I can
yeah.
see, you know, when we said, well, maybe it's okay to shop therapists. That is absolutely true. And I think it is a valid point in a way that you can become obsessed with things. And, you know, and there was a point in my life where I definitely obsessed about that. But I still think, you know, I don't know if it gives you an unrealistic expectation if you're able to separate that as fantasy, you know, like there's nothing wrong with having a fantasy. And like this particular person said, and I just wrote, she was saying like, you know, it was always hot. And when, you know, there was the thrill of getting caught, you know, with the heat of the moment when you're in the car. And sometimes when, you know, you live together, like you miss that spiciness, you know, that there's not that dramatic need for that one moment because you may not get it again. You know, you don't have that so much if you're married and you live with your partner for whatever reason. But that's something I feel like too, Esther Perel said, you know, in her podcast, Where Should We Begin, when she talks about, so what if you have to schedule time to be together? You schedule everything else in your fucking life. Like, why can't you schedule sex? Like, just because you have to make time for something doesn't make it any less important. It's more important because you're making the time for it. And that's yeah. like that was a big moment for me too. I was like, fuck, that's so true. Like, I make appointments for everything else in my life. You know, my love life doesn't have to be like, oh, I'm just getting the car serviced, but I can make it like, you know, I don't know. I just heard something the other day that was like, you know, you don't have to describe it as fancy. Why not just call it special? and make it a special moment, you know? And I feel like that's sort of the same way with intimacy. Like, you have to make the time for it and make it special.
Agreed.
So, I mean, in closing, in summation, I think you would use it for therapy, but, like, if you want answers from us on how to write a sex scene, I think you have to be able to draw on your own perspective of love. I think that makes a really great sex scene.
Nailed it. Okay, I just realized as I was looking over our notes here that we said that next week was Bebe Reid, but it's not. It's Sierra Simone.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We forgot a huge one. Yes. We have Sierra Simone on the podcast next week, and then we have Bebe Reid. But Sierra Simone is going to be on the podcast next week with a book called American Squire. And if you, I think she has American Queen and American King. I think those two books were like ground shaking for a lot of people. So she's going to be on next week, and I have the blurb right here. It's pretty short,
Let me just read it.
Okay. Former presidential aide Ryan Belvedere has been drifting in a fog of misery ever since his president was killed. But he reluctantly agrees to do a favor for a friend, fetching a rare book from a crumbling manor house in England. There he meets Sidney Blount, cold, sophisticated, dominant, who's at the same house to appraise the family art. It doesn't take Sidney long to appraise Ryan, too, and decide exactly what Ryan needs, which just so happens to be the one thing Sidney wants to give. So that one's male.
Ooh.
Very excited about it. She's an incredible writer. Very, very talented and a cool, really cool person, like a cool lady as well.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So can't wait for next week. And okay, I think that we'll just go ahead and send them into finally the final chapter, the final installment of Our Last Chance by Molly O'Keefe. And we'll catch up with you guys on the other side. Bye.
Bye.
Chapter 8. Natalie. If I slept, it was only for a few minutes, haunted by what I'd done, by the look on Jack's face, haunted by my anger. It was over, really over. The papers were signed. There would be no more nights in faraway places trying to figure out how to get him back. There was some part of me trying to feel good about what I'd done, trying to look forward to some new chapter in my life without this relationship around my neck, holding me in place. And maybe someday I'd feel that way. But today was not that day. Today I was only broken. And I wished I could pack up my stuff and go back to the bar with my head held high and say goodbye to Mark and to Bea, who would no doubt miss me, and maybe even worry. I liked the idea of Bea giving Jack shit over pushing me out. But I couldn't be there to see it. Clean was better. Gone was better. The cheese and the beer, the fucking olives and wine, I left it all behind. Same with his shirt. That track shirt I carefully mended over the years. I left it in the drawer. Someone else would throw it away. I packed up the rest of my stuff and headed out in the cool dawn to my Bronco in some future I couldn't even see yet. Austin, maybe, for a few days. I had some friends there. And then maybe back to Los Angeles. Jack's truck was still parked in the lot. It made me pause for a second, like I was seeing things. But then Jack got out of his truck, and I practically ran from my Bronco, needing to get out of there, away from him, to try as best I could to save myself the all-consuming pain that seeing him caused.
Natty,
he yelled, running toward me as I got the back door of the Bronco open. I threw my stuff in and slammed the door. But before I could get around the truck, he was there, his hands on my arms.
Stop,
he whispered. Let me go.
I will. I will let you go, if you listen to me. For a second, 1 second.
There is nothing you can say.
I'm sorry.
I stopped. Knowing it was a bad move, I looked up at him. His beautiful, familiar face, ravaged by a sleepless night and heavy emotions.
I'm sorry, he repeated. I'm so goddamn sorry for hurting you. The last few days, the last few years, I'm so sorry.
Okay, I said, and he slowly let go of my arms like I might run again any minute. I'm sorry too.
No, he interrupted. No, you've already apologized. You've done enough. Natty, I've been up all night thinking about us and the past. And the more I think about it, the more I realize how it needs to be me on my knees begging for forgiveness. I was proud, and I was stubborn. And I swear I didn't think I was making you choose between your dream or me. But that's exactly what I was doing, and I hate it. I hate that I did that. I'm embarrassed that I was that guy. And if I could do anything over in my life, I'd redo that night we fought. And I'd sell the land and the bar, and I'd get on that plane with you to Paris. I would not spend a second away from you. And I know in my gut that these are all the words you've wanted to hear over the years. But it's too late. It's too late for words. You need... Fuck, Natty. You need everything I have. Everything I can give you.
He rubbed his hand over his face and then smiled at me. Weary and somehow hopeful, and I felt my heart, always his to command, leap in response. But I grabbed onto it with both hands. I wasn't interested in any more pain, not from him.
Will you come with me?
He asked. Where?
Well, first we'll get some coffee, and then I want to show you this land I bought.
My breath caught hard in my throat and I nodded, unable to speak, trying not to hope. 20 minutes later, hot coffees from Sabrina's bakery steaming in the cup holders, we bounced down a gravel road only to stop at a cattle fence. Jack hopped out, swung the gate open, and jumped back in the truck. The road was lined on both sides by trees until we broke out onto a small hill with the land rolling away from us in nearly every direction. There was a stream cutting through it, another ridgeline 100 feet away. Early morning mist collected in the low spots, waiting to be burned away by the sun. Birds erupted from a tree not too far away, startled by a deer stepping out of the tree line. It was beautiful. Texas in all its glory showing off. Jack, I breathed, and he looked over at me. I could feel his attention and gaze, but I could not return it. I was torn between hope and hurt, afraid of both.
Come on,
he said and jumped out, turning to grab our coffees. Slowly, I got out of the truck too, my boots stepping down into damp grass. The air smelled good out here, clean and clear. My hands buried in my pockets, I met him at the front of the truck, our coffees on the hood between us.
The house, he said, pointing at the far ridgeline. I thought we'd go there. One of those big great rooms you always liked, with the windows looking out on that view.
Blinking back tears, I looked where he pointed, and I could see his plan.
And then, down there by the river, we could set up your chicken coop in the garden. The deer are going to be a problem, so if we do that, we'll have to sort out some kind of fencing.
He turned to the left.
We can plant some fruit trees along there, lemons and avocados. And I thought once we had the bulk of the work done, you might want a summer kitchen.
Jack. The words sobbed out of me. What are you doing? He was quiet for a long time, biting his lips. One of the things I'd always loved about Jack was how considered he was, how he didn't do anything half-cocked. He thought things through. He was deliberate and careful.
I was a boy when I fell in love with you, he said. And I acted like a boy for far too long. And these last 10 days, the way I treated you, I got a lot to make up for.
He turned to face me, gathering my hands in his.
And I want to make it up to you every day for the rest of my life, Natty. You came here asking for a second chance, but it's me that needs to ask for one. I bought this land for us, for our dream. But maybe your dream has changed. Maybe you don't want this land or the small town bar anymore. And if you don't, I'll sell it all tomorrow. I'm a man now, not a boy. And wherever you go, I go.
My head fell forward, my messy hair covering my face.
I love you, Natty. I love you with my whole heart. And I don't want to be without you anymore.
The papers, I whispered stupidly.
I tore him up.
I sighed long and hard, my shoulders finally relaxing.
I'm so sorry, he said.
We were kids, I whispered. We both made mistakes. I'm probably going to make a million more. But if you give me this chance, this new start, I will never, ever push you away again. I will never hurt you like I've been doing. I love you, Natty. I was crying now, and he was too. And when I stood on tiptoe to press my lips to his, he gasped for air like I was bringing him to life. And when his arms came around me, he clutched me like I was a life raft in a very stormy sea. I've been half alive, he said. Mostly dead without you. There's no joy without you, baby. No happiness. Shh, I breathed against his mouth, kissing him and hugging him as hard as I could. I'll go anywhere in the world as long as it's with you. Here, I said. All I want, everything I want is here, right here, with you. My wife, he whispered against the skin of my cheeks, my neck. My wife, how I've missed you.
Epilogue. Jack. I don't remember it like this, I said against the sweet-smelling skin of Natty's neck. We had the bench seat in the Bronco back as far as it would go, and it was still real cramped. My foot was falling asleep. You were smaller, she said, trying to swing her leg around so she could straddle me. I laughed low in my throat. Honey, the size difference is not me. She pushed all that beautiful red hair out of her eyes and glared down at me. A gentleman would keep his mouth shut. Baby, I cupped her face, smiling at her because she was perfection in every way. You're 7 months pregnant. I think we need to face facts here. But it's our anniversary. We always do this on our anniversary. We had about 30 anniversaries that my wife liked to celebrate, and half of them were celebrated by having sex in our Bronco. The day we met, the day I asked her out, our first kiss, prom. Tonight we were celebrating when Natty came back into my life and forced me to see how unfair I'd been to her, how much I needed her in my life. Sometimes I woke up in the middle of the night, heart racing from a nightmare that she'd never come back and that I was still without her. Babe, she groaned, trying to get her belly between us. Is this going to work? Having sex in the Bronco out on our property as a celebration of any kind of anniversary was something I could get behind. But the answer to my beautiful wife's question was no. This was not going to work. And our land had a perfectly good house on it now, with a very big bed. Hey, I kissed her lips real sweet and slow the way she liked. I got an idea.
That I should have worn a skirt?
How about we drive over to Sabrina's bakery and buy all the chocolate?
Sold,
she said, and climbed off me, panting from the effort. Her t-shirt, my old track t-shirt. We'd gone back to the hotel and saved it. Working hard to cover the swell of her tummy, had been hiked up, and the sweet, smooth skin around her belly button was revealed. I leaned over and kissed it. And then kissed her. I love you, I told her.
Happy anniversary, she said against my lips.
We were going to eat every crumb of chocolate in Sabrina's bakery, and then we'd probably sit on the back porch and I'd rub her feet. She'd talk about some ideas she had for the restaurant, and I'd say yes to all of them. Maybe we would have sex, maybe not. It didn't matter. Because she was my whole goddamn world, and every day with her was a celebration.
Hey, lady listeners.
You got your happy ever after.
Yay! She's pregnant. Okay, I loved that so much. Honestly, I really did. It just felt real to me. I felt like I knew, like, I felt like people I know.
Yeah.
Those characters. I really value that in a book. So if you want more Molly O'Keefe, I know you do. Check out Tycoon. It's free on Kindle Unlimited, and it features, you know, some characters from this book from Our Last Chance. So, like, grab Tycoon. I think it's only free this week. Molly O'Keefe is giving away a 2-month Audible membership. So
fucking
make sure
awesome.
You go to readmeromance.com and check out our current audiobook. You can enter the giveaway there. Bad Neighbor, Baby Come Back. Those are the books I recommend highly for Molly O'Keefe. Bad Baby, and also
she's on that one. Get it?
Bad Baby. Yeah. Molly, if you haven't written Bad Baby, please do that for us. Great.
Dedicate it to the podcast. And
it's like Boss Baby, except sexy.
Yes, I want a sexy baby. With Alec Baldwin
is going to narrate. Yeah. He's going to narrate the audiobook. And My Wicked Prince is Molly's new release, and it's free on Kindle Unlimited. So, like, lots of goodies to check out this weekend. And we're so excited that she was on the podcast, and I hope you guys loved her. So go get more. And I think that's it. So, Leah, tell them what to do.
Fuck your day up. Make today your bitch. Don't be a dick.
Bye, lady listeners.
Read me romance. Read me romance. Read me romance. Read me romance.
You could take a look in a book, that's fine. Or you could sit back, relax, and unwind and read me romance. Read me romance.